Jim.
Vais acabando, por favor. Arratsaldeon a todos.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, as I was saying, and welcome to this press conference, which corresponds to the film The Impossible, which has been projected in the official section but out of competition in this festival, and amongst whose actors are here, as you know, Mr. Ewan McGregor, who this evening will be handed over the Donostia Award. And plus, along with you, Mr. Ewan McGregor, we've got at the press conference the director of the film, Juan Antonio Bayona, the scriptwriter Sergio Sanchez, Maria Belon, who is the person in which the story has been inspired, one of the main characters, Balena Tienza, is also the producer of the film, and Paolo Basile, who is the CEO of Mediaset Spain, that before we start the press conference is going to say a few words. Mr. Basile, hi, good afternoon, thank you. Each film is an act of faith. When Guillermo del Toro presented this little fellow over here, the director, with the project of El Orfanato, it was an act of faith in a new director who gave us a great film as a present. The next act of faith was done, and he returned it to us. Mr. Bayona, when he didn't want to go to Hollywood, he continued to work with us in search of a film. This also demonstrates that it's not indispensable having to leave your own country in order to make movies, and it's not indispensable to have to travel to the US to make a great film, which I believe has been done in The Impossible. And with him, we have built and constructed the future that we were seeking, the future of the second film, when and not yet. No true how is it's like a tsunami. The interview on via radio with Maria, and immediately Belen, Enrique, and Jota, Jay listened in our offices, in Madrid, and that's where how history changed, because it's changed all of our ideas. And this tide cleaned up all of the projects we had in mind. It was an idea which, more than impossible, was incredible to be able to make, because I remember talking to Alvaro Busuidi, who are from Telecinco Cinema, who have formed part of the production of the film. They said, if we decide to make it, we've got to do it all the way to the end and to make a great movie, because either we make it really big or we do it well, or it's better to leave it to one side. I think we've done it very well. I think the film, I imagine you've already seen it or watched it, and if you haven't, you'll be able to see it tonight. It's a great tribute to the family, to love, to the strength of love, and at these moments, I think it's particularly important, the metaphor that I have read in the story of this film, that say each family has its own tsunami, each family has its moments of difficulty, but if love and the strength of love are strong, this means we can overcome any difficulties. Thank you very much, Calder. Thank you, Maria, for the opportunity that you've given us. Thank you. First question, please. Yes, I would like to ask Ewan, how do you feel receiving the Donosti Award at your age? And can you also say what it was like, that long trip that made it all the way here to make the Donosti Award, and why you did it through Twitter? That is why did you tweet it, and you did it through the social networks? Can you tell us all about that?
I did that because it's such a long journey, and I was traveling on my own and thought it might be If I turned it into a sort of photo project journal, it would just pass the time, which it did in the airports, but not necessarily in the air. But anyway, well, it's a great honour to be here. It's really a great honour to be here. I've always loved coming here. I was here. There was some debate as to whether I was here with Shallow Grave or not. I can't remember. I think I was definitely here with Trainspotting, and I came here with Moulin Rouge. And I remember certainly with Moulin Rouge coming to this film festival and feeling this unbelievable wave of excitement and energy from the audience before and after the screening of the film, and which was unrivaled really anywhere else in the world. It was very specifically, in my memory, a very specific experience to be here with that film. And so I've always really held it in my heart as a really great film festival, and I was delighted to hear that we would be here with our film, The Impossible, and even more delighted to hear that they were giving me an award, which is really special, really lovely. I don't know about my age. Is it traditionally given to older people?
You're the youngest.
I've worked a lot. I've been very busy.
Acá.
Over here. For the director, Mr. Bayona, I'd like to know how you managed the production and turned it into a super production. And Ewan McGregor, what was the element that made you choose to make this film with the director? Well, I think that El Orfanato and The Impossible were made with the money that was required to make the film. And both shoots were very intensive. Both films were very complicated, especially this one. And this was a film in which, initially when we started to shoot it, we didn't have any idea how to make it, really. And we started unconsciously, really, truth be said, the Spanish technical crew, we didn't know how to really make it, so how it was going to be done. But we were convinced that we were going to be able to make it. There was something that made us have no doubt at all at the end of the day. But the films were, the both experiences were very, very intensive. I really haven't noticed the change from making one film to making this film, that is to say. Bear in mind, it's a film that's 30 million euros, which the film has cost us a lot of money for a Spanish film. And it's very little for a production of this nature. They say the Americans can make this film with twice or three times as much the budget. And this, quite obviously, it was translated into the fact that it wasn't easy to shoot the film. Obviously, it's good to have limitations, because otherwise the time comes, you don't know exactly where to stop. So that forces you to tell things perhaps in a more creative and a more precise manner. So I'm not going to complain, but in fact, I've got no right to complain, to tell you the truth. But I lived it in a very similar way, both shoots of both of those films that you mentioned. Mr. Barrera, there was a question asked to you. Why did you take on the project? Yes.
It was very simple. It was there's certain elements that you look for when you're choosing your work. First one's the script. And the script is beautifully written by Sergio. It was very I felt like there was a sort of brutal honesty to it, simplicity to it, that I hadn't read before. Then there was the director, and I'd seen Hoss's film, The Orphanage, and I thought it was really interesting and exciting. And as an actor, you're always looking for, you know, the best directors to work with. And so I was very excited to work with him. And the third thing, I think, was, you know, the nature of playing a father. I've been a father for 16 years, and yet I've never really explored that element of life in my work before. And for me, albeit in a very extreme situation, it was an exploration of what it means to be a dad, and that unique love that you have for your children, that bond you have for your children and your wife. It was a way to explore that for the first time in my work, I think.
Hi, I'm Alexander Lizardos from National Greek Television. You did a brilliant job. It was one of the best films that I've seen at the Toronto Film Festival. I just watched it for the second time here. That film really scared me. The first 20 minutes, I couldn't watch it. I think that I just sneaked a little bit through my hands just to see the first scenes. So I would like to ask all of you, what's your biggest fear that you have to deal during the shooting, and is there a fear that you would like to share it with the rest of us that you have? And Belen, because you had to face that tremendously a scary situation, would you go back to the same place?
In fact, we have returned after the shooting of the film to Thailand. No fear at all, because the truth is our experience is that nothing happened to us. So this film, in a certain way, when we talked with Mr. Bayona, the first condition, and constant and very hard-headedly, we said this film and this story is the excuse to tell the story of many people, those mainly that drowned and didn't make it. So therefore, no fear at all. We're alive, and there's no fear at all. And if we're afraid, it's just if there's any fear, it's a circumstance. But that's no excuse to not be involved in a project of this nature, which I believe is fantastic, by the way, marvelous. What you were talking about fear, well, yeah, obviously it's a film which deals with a tsunami, and I didn't want to teach a lesson or be condescending. I wanted to always demonstrate the experience, an experience which is more emotional than intellectual to start off with, because these characters didn't have the time to stop to think, did they? So therefore, in that sense, I wanted to transport the audience to the center of the action and to live the experience, and to send them at home without giving too many explanations when you go back home after seeing the film, because all of a sudden they said, well, why did this happen? What was the meaning of all of this? Why did it happen? There is a meaning of trying to intellectualize the ending, and people go home and thinking why, and thinking in the film, but thinking in themselves as well. And in that sense, the film has an intellectual side to it, but it was a sensorial and emotional experience, I believe. Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask Maria, I'm over here at the back here, by the way, on the left, about the experience of exhibiting yourself to something so traumatic before the world. Has that been therapy for you? Or what I mean is that perhaps there are people that have survived the tsunami, and it's as if someone's got a cancer and one feels very lonely because the world continues to go around and nobody realizes that for this, exhibiting yourself, and we ask you in this direct way, in this very direct manner, I'm not too sure what's horrible or not, whether it's therapy for you at the end of the day. Well, listen, exhibit, perhaps, it's difficult for me to hear that word. I hope it's not an exhibition. I hope it's sharing an experience is what I would call it, that apart from being a specific experience itself, that many people shared, many of the people that were there, from a body standpoint, shall we say, I came back difficult to explain. I learned something, but it's difficult to explain with words. That is to say, this is what life's all about. It's one tsunami after another. Some a bit stronger or less stronger. Some of us are very lucky. And to come back and tell the story isn't therapy at all. I think it's or therapeutic. If someone asks you to do it, it's the least you can do, I believe. Therapeutic. I don't understand the word therapeutic. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, all I know is that this story was given to some people who were very excited and were very emotional, and they were very, very respectful. And yes, we said, well, let's use this as an excuse, but not as an exhibition, because there's nothing to exhibit, really. We were simply there, and we came out, and we did what we could, like everybody did. And that's what we do in life. The problem is that sometimes the feelings that we intellectualize, and we say, well, I'm not going to be able to do this, or this is too tough, or this is too hard. Well, all of a sudden, I don't know, the strength comes from wherever. And this is explained, and many other things have been explained, undoubtedly, from every place except exhibition. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here if we were using the word exhibition. Hi. Congratulations to all of you. Question for you, Ewan McGregor. Do you see any difference in roles such as this, where it seems that the storyline is much more important than the character, and others where throughout your career, for example, like Trainspotting, Star Wars, where it seems that the character is more relevant, so to speak? You catch what I'm saying? What he's saying is that the storyline is much more important than the character here.
I don't think I agree. I mean,
okay, that's also good enough for me.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, from our point of view, you're always fulfilling. You're always playing our character in our story, and whether. I don't know. I don't really analyze it in such a way, you know, whether the storyline is more important than the character or not. Because I think without the characters, you don't really have a storyline, you know.
I mean, it's true that when someone watches this film, they can get all the tsunami part, all the history, more the drama in there. But then there are other characters you have played, which seems to be. To have a personality much more deeper. I don't know if you see it like that. If you don't see it like that, we can finish here, and that's all.
No, I think there's different extremes, I suppose, in terms of what you're doing with a character. But in my shoes, you're always trying to play our character. This one, I use my own voice. I mean, he's closer to me than maybe others, but. He's still got to be a fully rounded character, or else it won't work.
Hola.
Hi, over here. Now that we've talked about Trainspotting, I'd like to know, Trainspotting, Ewan, can you tell us what's left of that young kid who played Renton in that film, which was so important for your career? Can you tell us something about that? Thank you.
Well, he's still sitting right here with you today. It's really the same for me. I mean, I don't feel very much different than I did then. Not at work, anyway. I mean, I still feel like I approach my work in this with the same sort of passion, vigor. I hope so.
Next question, please. Hi, good afternoon. The first thing, congratulations for the film, to the director and to the actors and actresses and the entire team, highlighting the role that the DOP, director of photography, did. I've got a couple of questions for the director, Mr. Bayona. First of all, the media says that it's the best disaster film of the last, in the past. I would say it's the best film of post-disasters for the reason that, and it leaves the, it's not a conventional blockbuster, and instead of focusing on the big wave, you decide, and quite correctly so, to focus in a more human and realistic side of things. You sacrifice the most easy and conventional resource, perhaps more type of Michael Bay or James Cameron, and you prefer to use the difficult way, the difficult path to make the film. That easy path would have probably made more in the box office, but instead of that, you balance that lack of defect, excuse me, about giving you such a hard time. How many stars?
Es que soy horrible para hablar.
I'm awful speaking in public, sorry about this, but those special effects, you leave them one side, as I said before, and you balance it out with an international cast, which is quite prestigious and renowned. So, to deal with the Spanish family situation, did you ask a question, or would you have liked to have had a Spanish cast that would have defended our cinema more? Or would that have limited or annulled the financing, those 30 million that you achieved for the budget of the film? Okay, there's a bit of an answer in your question, isn't there? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, the truth is the first vision of the script was written in Spanish. Sergio wrote it in Spanish. 80% of the dialogues of that version written in Spanish happened in English. That is, say, the language in which they spoke, the most common language, was English. Obviously, the market dictates reality, and reality, it was not easy to find 30 million euros with Spanish actors. I don't think, nevertheless, that I wanted this family to be universal of what they lived and experienced, and the experience wasn't protagonized just by Spaniards. So therefore, what we opted for was to seek markets in the actors in the international market, and you never bear in mind what is the nationality of them. That is to say, they want to come back home. That's the reference, and they live in Japan. That's where they're working. So therefore, we came to an agreement with the actors that everyone should conserve their own accent. That is to say, Naomi speaks with a mixture of an accent between New York and Australian, because she's English, and Ewan spoke with his Scottish accent. So therefore, one of the things we talked about a lot was the issue of nationalities. We didn't want to deal with the nationalities, neither did we wanted to teach. I didn't want to teach a lesson that would be condescending. When the wave came along, it took everything away, and that what was left were just people. And so therefore, we wanted to talk about people. And the other part of the question, you've answered it yourself, I believe. Thank you very much. Hi, good afternoon.
Spanish movie, you know, and it seems that there's a slight criticism in your question that it would serve Spanish cinema more if it would. But I feel like it's a Spanish movie. It's nothing but a Spanish movie, and but it represents Spanish movies in a broader workplace, right? So that's surely a good thing.
Hi, good afternoon. For Mrs. Ballon, Maria, call me Maria, yes, Maria Ballon. I'd like to ask you, Maria, what's the first thing that went through your mind when the team came to propose the film, and how did you work with Naomi Watts? What did she do? Or was there any field, just like the rest of the cast, which was a field which was too personal and they weren't going to enter into that or delve into it at all? Well, the first thing that I heard when they got in touch with me was it was a joke. And as a joke, it was a funny joke. I mean, nothing else occurred to me when I was asked. When I realized that the subject matter, when it was for real, I noticed that it was quite serious. And what I asked was a week break with my family so that we could think it over. And so therefore we talked about it in a family, at a family level. We negotiated this, obviously. We have to bear in mind at that time the kids were still quite small, and we had no idea where we were getting involved, where we were getting into. I just repeated, my intuition tells me that it's not an easy issue. Basically what we're going to do is to be generous and trust, and have a lot of trust. And if we believe there are elements to continue along with this, generosity has to be complete and we have to have absolute trust. And that was the way it was from the outset almost. And as regards working with Naomi, it was marvelous. When Jota or Jay said, Naomi, I said, the film's starting to grow, it's going to be in English, and finally it's Naomi Watts. I said, this is the second joke. So Naomi is one of my favorite actresses, and that every time I see her now, I don't see an actress, I see her. I submerge myself and I learn and I live. So the first feeling was with Belen, as I said, Maria, perhaps we'll meet up with him. No, I don't want to bother anyone. No, I don't want to bother anyone, because there's so many professionals there, the best thing is to be very discreet. And she said, no, I think it's good that you meet her and get together. And in that meeting, there was something which is called magic, which exists in life, by the way. And that is when all of a sudden you're talking for 4 hours, and we were given 15 minutes and 4 hours to have our first meeting when we got together, when we met, and you realize that we're generosity and trust on both sides happened, and deep humbleness, because for me the only thing I told her was, I'm here for whatever you want, albeit it's quite clear that you're not going to need me for anything at all. And I think at that time she embraced me and she said, hey, let's see how we can do this together. And the process was marvelous. I can't hear the question, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we can't hear the question. Yes, it is. That has to do with the intimacy and privacy of my children. That you can see, not a mother or Maria, that's the only field in which I hope that this generosity that I've provided, you don't mistake the terms. I hope the terms are not mistaken. This is just to make a film where something happens to us. That's it. That's all. Next question, please. Hi, Goncasas. I'm almost blind. I'm a rocker. I'm almost blind because I've got pigmentary retinas and I'm struggling against it like a dog. I want to be more than just a musician, and what I want to do is to make a film. I said, switch the light off and you'll see we're trying to make it as we can through a social project called GiveMeYourVision.com. And the question is as follows. For this film, first of all, to be a big film and to be able to make it our film, we're going to demonstrate whoever you are, whatever you have, you can overcome practically 99.9% of your hurdles. For this to be really big, I direct, but everybody's got to make the film. Any of you who are here, my question is, when you do a casting, how would you do, and this is for the director, would you allow your team to allow you, well, okay, this guy is a cool guy, this guy's fat, this guy's thin, or as an actor, or at the same time, can you give me any suggestion? And I write it down for the film I want to make. Thanks very much, by the way. He said, give me a hand. No, he's joking. He's joking. Well, I think as a director, it's good to listen to everyone's opinion, because at the end of the day, one's got the luxury of doing whatever one wants to do. So in that sense, that's the luxury of being a director. They say, you make the final decision. And so in that sense, I listen to everyone. I listen in my preparation, and Belen can say this, as well as Maria and Sergio, and Ewan as well. They say, it's all well and good to listen, all of the ideas that people throw onto you, but that also gives you a lot of security at the same time. So therefore, I can't hear this gentleman again without a microphone. Very sorry. Well, of course, in your situation, I mean, you can't see. Okay, well, I'm not in that situation, so I don't know. I imagine at the end of the day, it's a question of confidence and trust, as we said before. Sorry, we can't hear the question. I'm referring to, as a director, I would advise you to feel very secure and to listen to everyone, because you're going to be able to make decisions and with a greater level of respect, perhaps. Hi, good afternoon. I come from Mexico, and I agree with Maria. Naomi has an exceptional participation. She's a marvelous actress and very moving, but at a family level, I would like to know how the work was to feel she's totally convincing this group of three children and two actors on the screen that, the truth be said, we are involved as an audience in that terrible adventure that they went through. What was it work like before production and before shooting a film to integrate the five actors as a single family as they come across and are portrayed on the screen? This job or work has been the director, Mr. Bayona. He did this, so I think it's much better than that he answered the question, what it was like. Well, okay, there's something that drew my attention very much, and we talked about this with Sergio, was the each family member, their character is different. The small Smyman lived the story like a fantasy. There was a psychological association of the more traumatic events. It's quite fun to listen to Kikuchi, how he lived through the tsunami. The middle-aged son was more introspective, more silent, and Lucas, who is one of the protagonists, lived it very practically and confronting the process quite maturely. He had to behave like the father. And in turn, another thing that we liked, and I'm talking about characters, by the way, obviously this is the way, Maria's character, who's a character from the outset, she believes the family has disappeared, but her husband is looking for her throughout the film, and he doesn't give up. And so therefore we see the relationship between them. It was as if Maria turned into Henry's not there, and Henry turned into Maria when she's not there. So if you catch what I'm saying, they each played each other when they weren't there. So the film tells the story of this family, but it tries to tell the story of everything that happened there. They say on the one hand, Maria and Lucas tell us the initial shock of when the wave arrives, and then when they arrive to the hospital, and to start to see the dimension of that tragedy, and it goes way beyond just them. And the father nevertheless opens his story to more focus more upon the search, and unconsciously and irrationally searching, and then the emotion with the father, and everything is reduced to this family which would fall to pieces if Maria dies, for example, in confronting death, and how the certainty of that death is revealed how uncertain it is to live at the end of the film. So that was the storyline, and obviously once you're telling the story of this family, you're telling the story of all the people that were surrounding him, all the shock, all of the lack of organization, and the subsequent organization that was brought about after the tsunami. Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon. The truth is, I've got two questions, one for Mr. Bayona and another for Mr. Ewan McGregor. For Mr. Bayona, the children, the truth is, the kids, you're very good casting with the kids. No, I'm over here, Mr. Bayona. I think right at the back there at the left, right there. No, I thought I was listening to God. No, you're not the only person. That's happened quite often. People think they're talking to God when they're talking to me. But anyways, what? You got the kids right. I think that was perfect, because the boy that plays Lucas is fantastic. If he'd have been here, I'd have asked him, I would have congratulated him, because the film, if it had been called Lucas, obviously it would have been quite valid as well, because he played a great role. How did you find the children actors? And a question for Mr. Ewan McGregor, congratulations. You know, you're the youngest person that's going to receive the Donosti Award, by the way. And the question would be for you, when you were younger, shall we say, did you ever think that your career was going to be so brilliant? Okay. I would set the difference between the smaller kids, Samuel Joslin and Yoki Oakley Pendergast, the two smaller boys of Tom Holland's work. Tom Holland, the relationship that when we worked together, that was right one-on-one, just exactly like with Naomi and with Ewan. One of the things, the most gratifying thing to go on set was to see how Naomi and Tom Holland challenged each other continuously, and how they grew one in front of the other when acting. So therefore I'm very proud of the work that we did, so that the relationship that you can see on the screen was reproduced in real life. These two people that didn't know each other at the end of the film had an admiration and respect and a mutual love that moved everyone during the shoot of the film, and I'm very proud of that. And with the two smaller kids, well, I can, Sergio can respond. He's one of the persons who was there as a coach with the kids. Obviously, they had to reproduce very difficult emotions to understand. Obviously, they did a lot of drawings and things of the nature. I don't know, can you answer, Sergio? Well, basically, the smallest of all, Oakley Pendergast, who plays the role of Simon, appeared practically a couple of weeks before we started to shoot the film. And it's very difficult, because obviously these are kids that are not actors, so therefore basically the only thing that you can do with them is to make sure that they understand the story. I had, because I knew the story of all of these characters, so I had a lot of information. I basically tell them a story and make sure that they understand perfectly well what happened to them, and also to keep them in a place so that there's no vice, so that they don't know everything, and to make sure that they're not going to have a bad time, because it's a tough story. There's a lot of day shooting, so if you've got to take them care, you've got to spoil them, but like adults, like actors. And the truth is, they felt very proud when they finished a scene, and they felt, well, okay, they've done a good job. Okay, I think the third coach in the film was Ewan, and I think
the kids.
Yeah. I was always the last one there, you know, because when the camera's about to turn, it's just me and the two boys. And I was always the one going, okay, come on, you're really sad. You know, it was always very, very, I have to say, it was great care taken over the kids. And there was never, ever a moment where we scared them or made them frightened for real, or it was great care taken with that. because none of us would want to be part of that kind of behavior, which can happen on film sometimes. It didn't happen on this one. But I was always the last guy there going, come on, you might not see your mummy. And they knew I was talking about their pretend movie mummy. You might not see your mummy again. We don't know where she is. Come on. And after 4 months, I just had this image of what they thought I was, you know, this guy, this miserable, depressed man who made them upset and not swim in the pool. But they were unbelievably good boys, all of them. And the family works completely. I think you're right, to go back to your question, because of those three boys, because they're so brilliant in very, very different ways. I mean, Tom carries the movie. It's his film, really. He's the lead of the film. It hangs on his young shoulders, and he does an unbelievably brilliant, moving, professional job at it. I watched him with wonder. What a wonderful actor he is for such a young boy. He's learnt his trade in the theatre. He played Billy Elliot for two years on stage and a year prep for that. So he's got the sort of theatrical discipline, and he's an amazing boy. And then the two, Oakley, our youngest, would be ad lib. There were scenes where I'd be looking down at him, and he'd be in my arms, and he'd be really crying and coming up with lines that weren't in the script and ad-libbing and God, you know, with the phone. Give him the phone! He's in the moment and there's real tears. And then you say, cut! And he's like, all right. And he goes to play football again. I mean, he's just a little actor. He's got it in his blood. I don't know how that happens. And Samuel was a different kind of actor. Brilliant again, but much more inquisitive and looking to see how everything worked. And, you know, we'd look at Oakley and he'd go, why are you crying? And he'd say, well, because I'm meant to cry in the scene. He went, why are you really crying? I can look at why he was really crying. But that's why the family works, because of those wee boys, you know. They were just, and because of the work that everyone did with them, it was just fantastic.
If you've got an idea, the kids had an extra layer of work to do. When we started to shoot, we said, okay, now we're working, now we use our character names, you're Tom, you're Simon, you're Lucas, and so therefore, Ewan, come here. And I said, no, remember it. What's his name now? What, Obi-Wan? Is that his name now? Oh, the other question for you, Mr. McGregor, about your career. Did you ever think you'd have a brilliant career? That's right. Yeah. Did you ever think you'd have such a brilliant career when you started off with Trainspotting, way back when?
I don't know that you can ever imagine what anything's going to be like. You can hope. You can hope that things are going to go well. And when I was very young, I was very self-assured, and I didn't have any other plans. So I dreamt that I would be a working actor, and that's what I become. And I thank my lucky stars, really. I don't think you could imagine. You don't imagine looking ahead. What's been 20 years now, this year of work. Who the great people I have worked with, the great actors and directors and people and crew, the great fun that I've had. The movies that I've made that I'm really proud of, you know, you can only dream of that kind of thing. You can hope that that's going to happen, but I consider myself very fortunate. A couple of turkeys here and there, never mind. Can't all be winners.
I just have one question for Ewan McGregor. What motivated you to act in this film?
Well, I mean, to begin with, you know, I've spoken about the desire to play a dad. It was the first opportunity to do that properly. And it's one of the biggest elements, that's maybe the biggest element of my real life, is my relationship with my kids. And I felt that to be able to explore that in my work would be a very natural and necessary thing to do for somebody who's an actor. And but I can say that once we started, I was no longer motivated by my family. I wasn't thinking about my kids before I played those scenes, because it was too difficult to do that. It's too upsetting, really. So I had my real movie family. I'd send pictures back to my kids of me and my three boys, you know, like I was living this other life in Thailand. Some people do have other lives in Thailand, I believe, but that's a different story. So I just used that. I was able to think about my boys and put myself in this terrible position by thinking about them. So they were what motivated me. And Naomi, who I'd worked with before, who I made a film with Naomi some years ago called Stay. And so we had played in a movie together before. And I like her very much, and I really respect her work. I think she's one of our great actresses. And so I was able to use, that's what motivated me, thinking about them.
Hola.
Hi, two questions. Jota, for you, why did you take on the project? Why did you choose Ewan as well? And Ewan, Monica Bellucci, who you probably don't like, but she said something quite curious. She's like, she felt very happy to be a European actress because as a European actor, you have access to a lot of possibilities. You've shot in the US, she shot with Godavi, and you shot with the Spanish actor. Well, is it fun to be European because you're Scottish, because you can play in many fields of play, if you catch what I'm saying, not only the US? That's what Monica Bellucci said. No, she's not your type. No, we're not talking your physical type. We're talking about type of career.
La carrera, no el físico.
The career, not the physique.
The career. Why do you assume I wouldn't like her career?
Okay.
I don't not like her career. Karen?
Okay.
I don't know. I like to think about my answer because I don't know quite what it was going to be.
Yeah, so don't think about what I'm going to say now.
I think. From the outset, I think that Ewan was on my mind for the role. I wanted someone who would make it easy to have empathy with, someone very close. Someone very close, and I was quite curious what you're saying about his career or the career. There's something that I don't, what you said about the career, beyond Star Wars films, which is perhaps the most spectacular work he's done, I associated myself to a career which is much riskier, much more European. I'm not too sure whether European career, it's a European career or it's something else, but I felt him very close to me, that's to say, and obviously I admire him because, but it's true, the father, the first conversation we had, I said, hey, listen, have you ever played the role as a father? He said, yeah, and he said, yeah, and he shut up, and then he said, well, I'm not sure, hang on, and... Well, I think that in Big Fish there was a moment that I did play and I thought it was quite interesting to explore that side of him as an actor. I like to work with actors and to see them in roles that we're not used to, and I did this with Belén Rueda in El Orfanato. People are not used to see her in a horror film, terror film, but I think this aspect is much more mature. In Ewan's career, who had already started, undoubtedly, he came from playing the Ghost Rider, which is a film that I loved very much.
Nanny McPhee 2. I had some kids in Nanny McPhee 2.
There are three Spanish kids that go around. It's great. My father is Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's what my kids say now.
I thought about my career, you know, about it. I always, when people write in newspapers, you know, they say my name, Hollywood actor. I always think, what does that mean? I'm not a Hollywood actor. I mean, I've made a couple of films, but really only a couple of films that are, you would really say were Hollywood movies. Because I think Hollywood refers to the American studio system. And I've only made a few of them, a handful. Most of my work's been independent film. And I don't really, I don't have a kind of angle on it, whether it's European or American, and because I just follow the story, you know, scripts, stories. That's the main thing. It's not. I would never hope to be somebody who's trying to follow you know, trying to follow some kind of Hollywood career. It's not me. I mean, but it's all what these guys do. It's about this writing at the end of the day, the stories that grab you. That's all that matters. If you don't have that attachment to the, if you don't have that kind of emotional attachment to the page, you're not going to do very good. You're not going to do your best work in a film.
Buenas tardes.
Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask Maria whether you were as seriously ill as the character, and what's so true in Lucas' list to get in touch with the families, which is a beautiful part of the film when he's writing down the list and names of parents. The truth is, the best thing is, what isn't true? We would finish we'd finish quicker. Like I would say, the ball, instead of being red, it was yellow, and that it was a bit longer. That's how long it takes. That's true. That's not true, but it's true that Lucas started to work at the hospital. He found several families, got them together, and it is true that they came to thank several parents, and mothers came along and thanked me, and I took full advantage. Well, if you're here, if you bring a bit of water, please give it to me. I was as seriously ill as the character. I was a bit even worse. This was one of the issues with Jota, to say how far do we demonstrate reality without the audience saying, hey, what a movie, you know, this is a bit much, and it's going over the top. Well, it's a tough work. It was to saying, well, we've got to tell the truth, and that's the way it was, and whoever likes it, all well and good, and if not, well, what a pity. And there's part of the truth which is not told, because no truth is extracted from that truth, and that's the part that has to do with the part which is horrible, that say the things that we saw that didn't really tell much of the story, don't form part of the film. And the truth, everything that's in the film, in turn, and that's what you said, everything that's in the film is nothing compared to what she saw there. Yes, of course, the film, from my point of view, people tell me, is it difficult? Can't you see it? No, I imagine the audience will have trouble seeing it. Why? Because nothing happened to us at the end of the day. The film is on the limit, on the boundary, shall we say, where it starts to tell the truth. That's where it starts to tell the truth in a way. I think Mr. Bayona's work has been, he gets us all into the wave, and what you feel watching the movie is that's just the start of what you really feel there. Obviously, the film's not going to take 2.5 hours or 7 hours, obviously, but everything we tell in the film, everything that you feel, is the beginning of what the real truth was. Hola. Hi. Darian Shigman from Caga Cancaga from Argentina. Congratulations for the film. Thank you very much for coming to the festival. The film, the question is for Mr. Ewan McGregor. Albeit I look a bit large and tall, I'm a child, but I've seen all of your films, by the way. The truth is, I'm a great fan of yours and follower. And your look is a bit Ben Kenobi, I don't know, and if there's a sentence that an actor is has to pay dues to his audience, please, I brought something along as a favor. I've got two laser sabers all the way from Argentina. I'm sorry. No, this is a press conference. Ask a question, that's it. Okay, the question, it's not a show. At the end of the press conference, can we have a Star Wars fight? Yeah, but not now. A Star Wars fight, but let's respect the rest of your colleagues, okay?
La pregunta era esa.
That was the question. I want to know whether we can have a fight after the press conference. We'll see, a sword fight. Yes, at the end, please. This is a press conference. Thank you. Next question. Okay, hi. Congratulations for the film. My question is for you. And first of all, I wanted to say that I think that you cry very well on the screen. I don't know whether you've ever been told that, but the moment on the mobile phone really rips me to pieces. The whole cinema had our hearts in our hands, well, throughout the whole entire film, really. And the question is, what role do you still have to play? What would you like to be offered? Because you've done a bit of everything. You've played from war, drama, musical, comedy. That is to say, what role are you waiting to be offered at present? Thank you very much.
It's a difficult question to answer because I don't really know until I've read it. I'm not an actor who, I don't produce my own work. I don't, at least to date, I haven't bought the rights to a book to turn into a film. So I don't really know what the roles will be until I've read them. I mean, there's a couple of sort of historical, I'd like to play Mallory, who climbed Everest in the 1920s, was the possibly the first man to the top of Everest, we don't know, in his tweed jacket and scarf and leather boots. I'd quite like to play him. He was 39 when he died and had, I think, four kids, and I'm 41 and I've got four kids, so hope that'll have to happen quite soon, or I'll be too old. But I'd quite like to play him, because his story fascinates me.
Última pregunta, por favor.
Final question, please. Sorry, we can't hear it. Sorry. The film starts, and now we can hear that there was... This was news. I'm not too sure whether you've realized the news this week in Spain. There's revolt and turmoil in Madrid, which had that we've seen images in several places in Europe outside of here. I don't know whether you've seen them. If you've seen these protesters, there's a revolt in Madrid. There's been a lot of protests. She wants to know whether you've seen that while you've been here. And if you have, what do you think of them?
I think it maybe happened as I was flying over here. I've been in a plane for the last 3 days to get here, and so I've missed most of that. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.